Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called a Federal.
This is an encore recording from Tokens Radio. From March 17, 2024.
Before we begin, everyone do me a favor. Thanks. Read a little thing I wrote called the Federalist Papers. Yeah. I explain how a nation is unlikely to survive without a strong central government to keep it alive. When I launched a central bank, Jefferson called me ill. Now you have my faith to thank on every $10 bill. When America was cash-trapped, I pushed past that. Now some sicko makes crypto, and our nation backtracked.
Decentralized currency, yes, I invented it. I'm sure many governments wish they had prevented it. The national cash is how they keep control. But freedom to the people was my ultimate goal. Am I including them? A group of men, it doesn't even matter. I invented Bitcoin to see out of a disaster. A man from Japan or a damn hologram. I'm the reason open season on crypto began.
Welcome to Tokens Radio Show. It's Sunday, March the 17th. My name's Christy Matthews.
I'm Linda Kent.
I'm Elizabeth.
Lauren's away on assignment today. And
yeah, lucky Lauren.
Lucky Lauren. But he's going to be calling in today. Just a heads up for you, Christina. And we have a guest here in the studio, Peter, and we're going to come back to Peter in just a moment. Hang on there, Peter. And we're broadcasting live from the studios of KCNR in Redding, California on both 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. You can also stream us online at KCNR1460.com to catch today's show and access our archive. That's always a difficult word for me.
Archive.
Follow us on Telegram and X for updates at Tokens Radio Show. And hello, Christina.
Good afternoon,
Good
Christina.
Good to have you
Good
here.
Good afternoon.
She's
happy all, Sunday.
Yes, happy Sunday to you, too. Nice day, isn't it?
Is it? I'm really enjoying the warm weather. And
indeed.
Yes, yesterday we finally went to, like, outdoor dinner.
Oh, really, yeah. Like on a patio
somewhere? No, we really like, there's a spot, the Whiskey Town, when you can,
yeah,
like, just bring your
great
stuff and do some fire and just do some meat or anything what you like. So on Friday we took some dumplings, was really nice, and yesterday we just brought some meat. It was really gorgeous. So that's why it helps me to take a lot of energy and resource, and I'm here to rock.
Right. Uh-huh. We like that.
Thank you for keeping us on the straight and narrow, and appreciate that.
And also recommend everybody to go out and enjoy the weather.
Yes, absolutely.
You bet.
Earlier she had a coat on and stuff, and she was like really looking good in there. I have to say, she was nice looking with all of her
spy.
A spy. Yeah. She kind of looked like she was undercover. Spy.
Well,
but
you know,
anyway.
Speaking of nice weather, we have a guest here today. His name is Peter, and he is spending a beautiful Sunday afternoon with us, and we welcome you, Peter. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how you found us and how you found yourself here today?
Well, thanks for asking. I have been working up here in Redding for the last year, and one Sunday afternoon I turned on my radio, and I couldn't believe my ears. You guys were talking about Bitcoin, and you were talking about it so wonderfully, I was instantly in heaven. And so I listened to all your past episodes, and I knew that you had a window here, so I walked by and waved to you.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a lot of passerbys that wave at the window, and sometimes we're going, okay. Sometimes there's things that go on outside that window that we do not want to see. Just so you
know. Sometimes we don't know if they're going to wave or do other things, so we, you know.
So you were a friendly
yeah, and we're glad that you did that.
Yes, absolutely. Welcome.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
that'll be great conversation today.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. So on our previous two broadcasts, well, first I should back up a little bit. You know, it's no surprise that we are in favor of Bitcoin mining and what it represents and the potential benefits that it brings to resource-rich communities such as ours. And so we wanted to showcase Bitcoin mining, and we've done that over several shows, and particularly over the last two broadcasts, where we chatted with the founders of both Abundant Mines and Barefoot Mining. So we've been, as I said, we've been focusing on that, and with the hopes that maybe one day we'll find that here in Shasta County as well. And so we're going to recap those conversations just to make sure we don't lose any ground. But first, let's do a quick market update, shall we?
Go for it.
So Bitcoin's currently at 68,602.
Wow.
The IBIT ETF shares is at 39.39. Ethereum's at $36.55.
Wow.
And when I say 39, I should say $39.39.
Right.
Yes. XRP is at 62 cents.
Wow.
And XLM is at 13 cents.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like
especially
that.
With quite the dip that we had. We were up to, what, $72,000
yeah.
in Bitcoin. So a little bit of a pull away right now, and you have to expect that. You know, a lot of whales that have come into the market, they're going to take their profits. Plus, we had a financial report that came out last week. Inflation is up, though there was a pullback in the market.
Yeah, but, I mean, really? So you buy in, like, at 11, 13, whatever it was, and, oh, shooky darns, it's at $68,602. Dang it!
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm being...
Not financial advice, just hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on.
I'm liking it. I'm loving it, you know? And we've had people we've talked to, that said they remember when Bitcoin was like 3 cents. Crazy.
Wild stuff.
Yeah. So with that, today's show is sponsored by Queen of Dragons, home to Pinnacle Cultivators. Their carefully cultivated, unique strains offer elevated experience with exotic genetics and robust flavors. The Queen of Dragons is known for fair pricing, stringent quality control, and knowledgeable staff. Stay connected by following at Queen Dragons on X or calling 530-276-9771.
Well, that's terrific. And if you'd love, like to love,
you can love
to
it.
Join our conversation, give us a call here at the station at 530-605-4567 or hit us up at the chat at KCNR1460.com. And we have a caller on the line. Is that Lauren by chance?
Hey.
Hey,
yeah,
good afternoon.
How's everybody doing?
Doing great. Glad you could join
good.
Us. So did you get to hear that Peter is here with us as well?
Yeah, I heard rumor mill of it. So, yeah, good
right
to
on. So
good
it's
going to
be a great conversation. So he's excited to be here. We're excited to have him here. So excited to have you make it. So
yeah.
How is it on the coast?
It's beautiful here. Hoping to maybe meet up with the local Bitcoiner here and pick his brain and maybe have him on as a potential guest coming up, too.
Awesome.
Nice. That ain't right, though. That just
well,
ain't
you know,
right.
I have to make this a business trip.
Well, of course it is. Everything we
yeah,
do is
absolutely.
Business.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So we're going to start off today by recapping the last two shows. We had two CEOs from... Bitcoin mining operations, one in Oregon, Abundant Mines,
mm-hmm.
and the other is Barefoot Mining with Bob Burnett. They have differences in how they run their operations, and we thought that was interesting to just bring this back and talk about the diversity between the two companies. And so we'd like to start off talking about Abundant Mines. As I said, they're up in Oregon. They're in a little town called Cascade Locks, and it's right there on the Columbia River. And what is their power source? Hydro.
Imagine that.
Resource rich.
Yes.
Resource rich, yeah.
But go ahead.
A very small community, though, at that.
Yes.
That accepted and got involved in the mining piece of it up
exactly.
there on the river. It's
yeah.
exciting.
And theirs is a little bit of a difference than maybe, as Bob was describing with Barefoot Mining, in that Abundant actually got into a public-private partnership with Cascade Locks. Cascade Locks is a town of about 1,200 people
mm-hmm.
with this resource-rich community. When Abundant Mines came in, they were able to lease... get a long-term lease at a very reduced rate
yeah.
for them to bring their operations in. And their operations is far greater than anything else that's in Cascade Locks. And so that was an interesting thing. And the only way they were able to pull that off is that hey, Cascade Locks, we'll just set it up for you.
Right.
Okay, and they will gain the benefits of it. And so that was a pretty cool thing.
Well, it was interesting that he, you know, when we had him on telling us all the different ways they were doing it up there and how they got involved with it in the community up there, which is very nice with the energy piece, because so many times we hear how bad the mining is. You know, you're going to draw from the grid, you're not going to give back, and all of that. And his take was way different than that, and telling people how it actually does work, that it's not bad on the environment, it isn't a strain on the grid. Actually, it works the opposite. Even though we talk about it, it was nice to hear from somebody that is in that world.
Yeah, and I love, too, just everything about Abundant Minds and how they were birthed and how he had fallen into some scams and couldn't find a host, but then kind of landed on that area and saw, hey, this is a small utility that
right.
Has no existing use for, like, the infrastructure that it already has set up there. So he's like, how can we offer them an alternative or a solution? And we have a large load, and we're flexible with the time. I mean, that's
right.
Almost like a dream come true for, I feel like, electrical companies. And like you're saying too, Linda, I love how he kind of switched it to be like, hey, this isn't just a business. This is a resource for you guys.
Right.
And that
yeah.
is how the power companies should view mining. It's like a resource that gives you another alternative.
It's not competition.
Yeah, and it's not an extractive industry. I think that's,
right.
like, probably one of the biggest misconceptions about Bitcoin mining that I was under again. So, and I love that. That's what he said. If he could, like, shout anything up out from the rooftops, it would be that mining is an energy resource that just gives them options of how
yeah.
they want to use their power.
Yeah, in their case, they stabilize the grid. So
yes.
they're connected
mm-hmm.
to the grid, whereas... Barefoot mining, they prefer to not be connected to the grid.
Correct.
Which is very interesting. So they're stabilizing the grid. The other thing that you said, Elizabeth, is that it was a city municipality. It was their own electric company, very much so, like what we have here in Shasta County. We have two cities that generate their own electricity. And I believe Anderson's doing some... energy production with Wheelabrator as well. And I believe
maybe.
they contribute to the grid as well
yeah.
with the bio-waste.
I do know, and we've talked about it before, one of the schools down there,
mm-hmm.
you know, they do their own energy basically mm-hmm. and it's self-sufficient with the water down there, which is really cool. It could have other uses as well on the recycle piece of that.
For that type of an operation, there are many mining companies that run like Abundant Mines. You know, they attach to the grid, and
mm-hmm.
they're looking for a public-private partnership. And so, you know, that's pretty much ideal for what we have going on around here. I mean,
yeah.
that would work well. We have a small municipal electric company in Shasta Lake. We've got a bigger one in Redding, a small operation in Anderson.
Can I interject?
Yes, please.
So I wasn't around for that one. I believe I may have been on assignment as well. So it sounds like do help stabilize the grid,
yeah.
mm-hmm.
From what you just said. Mm-hmm. So in our area, for example, during peak times, let's say when everybody's got their AC running, they can say, hey, we need you guys to actually, you know, turn down Bitcoin because we need this energy for,
right.
you know, ACs and whatnot. So
right.
am I caught up now? Because I wasn't sure of where
no,
that fit.
No, that's exactly
that
right.
Okay.
Yes.
Perfect.
And he
yeah,
specifically
so that
well
said
that.
Area.
Yeah, absolutely. Specifically said that if they need to power down, they can do that immediately.
Flexible.
Yes, very flexible.
Yeah, it seems like the woke mind virus is trying to convince the public that electricity is something that we can just put on the shelf and store for
right.
6 months and just use whenever we want, but in actuality it's more like a living thing where if it's not being used, it's actually probably being shorted into the ground or something unless we could afford a big old battery pack or some way to store it. So in order for some way to utilize electricity that is otherwise being wasted, it's a great idea to why not capitalize and make money off of it in the meantime. So it's like a win-win, really.
Yeah, and it's not a competition. You know, some people think that it's right.
Against people cooling their homes or something, because the Bitcoin miners can be curtailed. They can be shut down during those peak times.
You know, Lauren, looking back, it's unfortunate that Bitcoin mining is called Bitcoin mining, because as Elizabeth pointed out, actual mining is extractive and typically not good for the environment. This is the exact opposite, and if it had been named something different from Jump, we'd be far better off today psychologically fighting the war.
Correct, yeah, for sure. It's not. It's more of what you would traditionally see in, like, Amazon's cloud storage devices, or basically just rows of computers processing information is all, really all it is. So it's just computers utilizing electricity. So I 100% agree with that, because it's a bad connotation. And for the average mind and for a public that's uninformed, it doesn't come off right, especially when there's, like I mentioned, the woke mind virus out there that's trying to create narratives that are not true. And so we need to combat it with the truth in any way we can.
The woke minds are constantly changing terminology for their purposes like
this.
Yeah.
It's so hard to keep up.
It's a good point about the mining, because when he was saying that, what picture I got in my brain was, you know, when they used to, with water, when we did gold mining or whatever, it was just big old swaths of water tearing down the mountainside. That's what I got, that, you know, when you stop and think about it, that's probably what some people think as far as when you say Bitcoin mining, they're going, oh, no, you know.
Right. Well, and there's been so much negative news, and I guess in somewhat rightful argument about inefficiencies. But you know what, and let me explain that a little bit more, the inefficiencies in terms of these miners that would generate a lot of or require a lot of energy to run them,
right?
And a lot of heat, a lot of noise, all of that kind of thing. But Bitcoin miners rise to the occasion. They innovate, and that's what's really cool. I mean, it's just like finding flared gas, and they go, oh, we can run miners on that,
use those renewables.
You know, exactly. And so same thing comes down to and using more efficient miners, such as, you know, the ant miner, that's much more, it's quieter, it's much more efficient, so it doesn't use as much off of the grid, so it allows for, you know, better consumption of the energy, but also it will allow your mining operation to not be as big, too. I mean, you can reduce your footprint with more efficient miners.
Oh, yeah, most definitely, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. You could talk a little bit about that. The other thing that I think that we should talk about that he emphasized, and I know you touched on this, Elizabeth, is the oversupply of renewable energy sources like wind or solar power. We have quite a bit of wind generating up here with the Bernie Basin project. And then the Fountain Wind project is something that Shasta County has completely said, we don't want it. But the state of California says, okay, you voted that you don't want it. We know you don't want it. Your public says you don't want it. But we're going to step in, and you're probably going to get it. And so there's going to be a lot of pushback on that. But here's the thing that we have found out about the Bernie Basin project, is that there is enough wind energy generated, brought down to the Round Mountain substation that has, by hash rate, I don't know if you call it hash rate megawatts,
I guess that would be the better way to say,
that would far exceed the usage beyond 2030 today at this point. So we have excess energy we're not even using. So
right now, without adding to it.
It goes off into the ethers. And so there was another figure I think that was brought up. I'm not sure if it was by Bo, but there's 30% waste already in the system that once the energy supply is created, we're going to lose 30% of it,
which is
period
huge,
right off the top.
Which is huge when you stop and think about it, of losing that.
Yeah, I almost want to say, like, it's unacceptable.
Yes,
especially in such a resource-rich place like Shasta County. And I think that hopefully it's Bitcoin is kind of also just evolving in technology and pioneering, and I hope that just cities and councils can do the same. I mean, Reading has been known for, like, poverty flats. I don't know if everybody's heard that term.
I've never heard
and,
that.
And now, oh, really? Yeah, but now it's like we have something that's going to allow us to utilize what we have that could bring in, like, investors and kind of change the whole trajectory of this county, and we're just going to turn our head and not look at it and not capitalize on using what we already have. To me, that's like mind-blowing, and I just think everybody should be presented with that. It's like we're not saying we have to bring in all this stuff. It's already here, and so
right.
many other counties would die to be in this
it's a good point.
Location.
Can you expand on
poverty flats?
Let me do a quick Google search. But yeah,
I haven't heard
I'm
that.
I'm thinking, are you referring to maybe huge commercial projects that are just sitting there completely unfulfilled?
Was an ongoing name by Reading during, like, the railroad project. The town.
Okay, now you're going back in
yeah,
time.
A little bit more, but yeah, that's something that it was just called here, and it was just like known for poverty. And I think we still kind of see that just unutilized potential, in my opinion.
Well, yes. Get to that point. If you yeah. stop and think about it, we're kind of there again because that's one. But they've taken away our logging. They've taken a lot of that away from the community. This North State used to be very rich using the resources that kept
yeah.
the people going and their incomes up. When they took the mills out and things like that, it devastated the North State because that was such a big part of the community.
You know, if there really is a 30% loss with power production, then it's simply criminal not to save that. It's poor
right.
stewardship
right.
not to mine yeah. Bitcoin.
Right. Well, we agree. And then let alone, that's just in normal energy production. So when you add the renewables that are coming in, you add that on top of that. So there's even a greater loss. So we have no way of capturing the renewables. We have so here Bitcoin solves this problem, and they're the buyer of last resort. This is what makes Bitcoin mining
mm-hmm.
profitable. And then also when you have some of that come back to the community, this is the really cool part. With the public-private partnerships is that it is a partnership where the public, the citizens that are supporting this operation in their communities are actually getting a little bit of
the reward.
Residual rewards
mm-hmm.
from it. We might get better roads. Look, we've had an election lately,
mm-hmm.
just recently, and there's, you know, certain people ran on certain things, such as roads and, you know, let's take care of our homeless people, all of these
yeah.
kinds of things.
Back
all
to poverty.
all noble things that we should be doing, but there was really no solution ideas. We can point
mm-hmm.
out the problems,
mm-hmm.
but this is one of the ways that we can actually solve the problems and bring some of that money back to our community.
How are we innovating, and how are we breaking patterns? It's not just enough to, like, look at cycles and point it out, but what are we going to do about the homelessness and all that? That's another conversation, but
yeah.
I throw it out there.
But to just throw money at it is not solving.
Look at San Francisco. Look at LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Millions of dollars.
Exactly.
Situation worsens.
So we've talked quite a bit about, you know, the benefits of a public-private partnership, very much like Abundant Minds runs their operation. So that's the positive, and we talked a little bit about the negative. The greater problem is the jurisdictional issues. It's the regulations. It's the juggernaut here in California especially, which is why you probably don't hear of any Bitcoin mining operations in this state thus far.
Because
of that environment.
Overreach government that tries to get involved with everything.
And I have to question, because we have such a high-tech influence in this state. I mean, you look at Silicon Valley, and why don't we have these operations here? I have to wonder if it's almost baked into the cake that it's not here.
Well, in some ways,
ahead,
I'm
Peter,
sorry.
Yeah.
Because Silicon Valley, A, didn't invent it, and B, they can't license it.
Got it.
And C, they've moved out of Silicon Valley because of the regulations during COVID. A lot of them left.
A lot of
companies.
A lot of the smaller companies.
Yeah, lot of the
sure.
companies and
yeah.
the money moved out. So.
Yeah, and I don't want to jump ahead, but I did love how the barefoot mining guy, Mr. Brunette, was just saying that there just still has to be a collaborative way that this can happen, and just optimistic about how we can move forward in this together. But I think that will take a lot of public buy-in.
Yeah.
Well, it's education. Mm-hmm. We need to put it all out there, the good, the bad, and the ugly, yeah. And come to ways and look at this. This is innovation. It's going to innovate. We were talking off air about where we might think Bitcoin is at this point in its growth. And, you know, what was it that you said, Peter?
I was saying we're like in 1992.
And my response was kind of like an adolescent learning how to drive, you know, right. Right now. And so, yeah, I mean, this is where we're headed. And this is, you know, it's not going anywhere.
Right. And with that, guys, I think it's time to take a break. And we will continue this conversation on the other side, and we'll talk about Barefoot, too, and elaborate some more on that, on the perspective, different aspects of Bitcoin mining. So with that, we'll take a break. You're listening to Tokens Radio Show here on KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM, and we'll see you in a few minutes.
Experience luxurious bliss with Pinnacle Cultivators, Redding's premier licensed legacy cultivator, exclusively at the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake. Pinnacle's carefully crafted, expertly curated flower guarantees an exceptional experience with rare genetics and distinctive flavors, freshly packaged daily for a genuine farm-to-table experience. Visit 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-276-9771 for delivery and hours of operation. Visit queenofdragons.com or follow us on X at the Queen Dragons.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Dinosaurs have taken over Turtle Bay Museum with Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals. Open now through September 2nd, featuring large-scale animatronics and life-size models of dinosaurs, hands-on activities, and more. Journey back in time and explore the end of dinosaur reign in this highly interactive and educational exhibition from Stage 9 Exhibits. Expedition Dinosaur, Rise of the Mammals, on display now at Turtle Bay Museum. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Hi everybody, RC with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor, El Pulpo by AJ Fernandez. Receiving a 94 rating, El Pulpo is outstanding, balanced, layered, bold, are just a few words used to describe the powerful character of such a cigar from the factory of AJ Fernandez. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Good day, and welcome to this week's Town Hall News Brief. I'm Phoebe Johnson, your host, here with the latest local updates. Reuters News investigated a deadly global supply chain fueling the fentanyl crisis, a scourge affecting communities of all sizes and demographics. Their report revealed how easily obtainable chemical precursors from China are transformed into lethal opioids by Mexican cartels and smuggled into the United States. Reporters purchased enough ingredients to potentially produce 3 million pills for just $3,607, demonstrating the alarming accessibility of these chemicals. The simplicity of fentanyl production, described by one Mexican cook who dropped out of school at the age of 12 as mega easy and like making chicken soup, further complicates control efforts. Despite government crackdowns, the industry's agility in switching chemicals creates a whack-a-mole scenario for regulators. This nimble, three-nation trade network continues to outmaneuver law enforcement, contributing to tens of thousands of American deaths annually. As the fentanyl crisis persists, states debate how to address drug-related crimes and public safety. California's political landscape is heating up around Proposition 36, a ballot measure to roll back reforms from 2014's Proposition 47. Prop 36 aims to increase penalties for certain theft and drug-related crimes. crimes backed by major retailers like Walmart and Target. Several Democratic lawmakers, including State Senator Dave Mind and others, support the measure, putting them at odds with Governor Gavin Newsom. Newsom strongly opposes Prop 36, arguing it would significantly increase the prison population and cost taxpayers billions. He criticizes it as a regressive drug policy reform that would undo progress. The measure is expected to be hotly contested in the November election, highlighting a growing divide within the Democratic Party over criminal justice reform in California. This debate underscores the complex political dynamics surrounding crime and punishment in the state. While state politics grapple with these issues, local communities face governance challenges. Shasta County's Election Commission sparks outrage with the new member's controversial appointment and crude remarks. In a heated 3-1 vote, the Board of Supervisors appointed Realtor Brad Garbett to the panel, despite public opposition and concerns about his temperament. Supervisor Kevin Cry's decision to limit comment time fueled the fire. Garbett pledged to fight election misinformation and rebuild trust, but his true nature surfaced in a shocking social media post. Apologizing to all female dogs in the world, he insulted a critic by comparing her to a dog, exposing his short fuse and disdain for alleged anti-government extremists. The vulgar comment and contentious appointment undermined the commission's credibility, leaving residents questioning the panel's legitimacy and the board's judgment. Despite political controversies, some communities are innovating to support their most vulnerable residents. Shasta Community Health Center's Medical Respite Program, launched in 2020, provides a safe environment for homeless individuals to recover from surgeries and medical treatments. The program, a collaboration between Shasta Community Health Center, Pathways to Housing, and A Common Spirit Health, has served 339 patients as of June 2024. Referred patients can stay for up to 90 days, receiving comprehensive care, including medical services, case management, meals, and community building activities. Funding comes from various sources, including CalAIM, grants, and hospital contributions. The program has demonstrated success in providing dignified care and reducing hospital readmissions. Expansion plans include increasing bed capacity and adding another facility. This collaborative effort aims to create a sustainable, community-wide solution for supporting the recovery of homeless individuals. The Town Hall Brief is celebrating 1 year of reporting Shasta County News Briefs. Thank you for your support and for listening to your Town Hall Brief. We look forward to continuing to bring this service to you, so become part of the conversation at Shasta Lake Town Hall on Facebook or at Town Hall News on X.
All right, before we took our break, we were talking, got a little sidetracked there. Christy's looking all over, like, I don't know, something's going on. Anyway, we were recapping our conversation with Abundant Minds. We were going over our interview with him and discussing the different ways that he handles it. So now we're going to talk about the last week's broadcast that we did with Barefoot Mining, which Elizabeth alluded to a little bit before the break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567 to join this conversation. Otherwise, who wants to take the lead? Elizabeth? No?
Well, I will go back to kind of what I was touching on, was his optimism that we can have a collaborative approach between just crypto companies and policymakers. And I know that can sound scary and sometimes like those two groups oppose each other, but I really think it's a match made in heaven, because just positive frameworks can be established that have the potential to bring economic benefits to rural, rich resource areas like, hello, Shasta County, and can bring jobs, tax revenue, infrastructure, and investment. So just working together. That was probably the biggest takeaway for me, is how can we work collaboratively with just crypto companies and policymakers to see this thing take off.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. What was cool about his philosophy, he says, well, he goes, I kind of work more on the conspiratorial side of things and wants to be a little bit more, not worrisome, but more look at the Bitcoin mining industry in and of itself, of what can happen. You know, if you get, you have two very large mining operations out there right now, Riot and Marathon. Mm-hmm. They're huge, and they can control quite a bit
of the Bitcoin mining space just by size and hash rate alone. And the concern there is, you know, the 51% attack by it being too centralized.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that goes against the ethos of Bitcoin really altogether. So with his approach is he describes barefoot mining specifically to that being rabbits, horses, and elephants.
Right.
And whereas the rabbits are, you know, smaller, you mine Bitcoin in your garage, for instance. You'd have a couple of miners. I mean, even the city of Fort Worth would be considered like a rabbit at this point because they've got a couple of miners. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they mint a little bit of Bitcoin. And then you've got the elephants, Riot and Marathon. But, you know, his operation is more like horses. Horses are in the middle. They can be more nimble. They can adapt to the market and to their terrain much easier than other operations. He said he can get started in 6 weeks.
Right.
Once they identify a site and they overcome the regulatory hurdles of that community, whereas if it was here, there would be many. But in others, you know, they're looking for something that they can get into in about 6 weeks.
Right.
And be up and running.
What I liked about what he had to say, too, which was different, was he looked at all different areas, whether it was a warehouse.
Right,
and
right.
You can do a conversion and pull energy from there or whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't a set thing of just water or just windmills or just this. They look at what is available in the community and go, how can we utilize what's already there to the best attention that would otherwise go wasted? It'd be totally wasted.
Right.
Yeah, I like that as well because it's not just looking at the limitations and everywhere they're being blocked, but looking for the opportunities, especially in the most unlikely corners of the city. Yeah,
that was a good point, Linda, that you brought up about. He did mention that they had found an old warehouse that had been sitting idle, and they were able to contract with the lessee, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and to kind of sublease the area, and they were helping out everybody that way for them to be able to bring in their operation. They got the building fairly inexpensive because it sat there for so long. And
right.
Yeah. It worked out well.
Yeah, if you stop and think about it, even in our own community, yes, we have hydro and we have the windmill. But there's probably some other areas that we haven't thought about yet that we could use that would is just like recycle. Mm-hmm. A good example is recycling. We don't do anything with it. You know, everything's green energy here. And what do we do with recycle? Absolutely nothing, really.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So we could, you know, expand upon that.
The other thing he did talk about was the basics. We touched on the halving, which is going to be coming up next month sometime, and explained that and how does that affect mining operations. So when we're currently, when you have 210,000 blocks, that have been mined, there's a reward generated. And the one that the miner who wins that block reward gets the Bitcoin. And it's a little bit more complicated because many of these miners join a pool and then they share in the rewards. But currently that mining reward is 6.125 Bitcoin. But at the halving, it is
3.125.
It will be 3.125. I'm sorry. It's six. Is it six and a half?
Six and a quarter.
Six and a quarter.
And then it's going to go down.
That's correct.
3.125.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you for the correction. Is that we want to be accurate about that? And that was important because he's going, well, yes, of course. That's going to create some difficulty for the miners, but the way he goes, first of all, you have to be forward thinking about it. They have been. And so how do they do that? They increase their efficiency, right? They run with better miners. The difficulty will increase, you know, so all of that's very important. Also, by the 3.125 Bitcoin, that's going to wipe out some other miners in the market.
Yeah.
So there is concern that you have the elephants who can consume some of the smaller players. Mm, and true. And so the miners are probably going to work this out. They have always they're not required, but they're responsible for their own survival.
Scrappy bunch.
Yeah. So I think that they'll cull their own herd, if you will, mm-hmm. using the, you know, the rabbit, horse, and elephant idea. I think that that will happen, but you never know. I mean, people can get greedy and come in and try to centralize this more and, you know, look at Ethereum, but we try not to talk about that.
We're not going to go there, right?
We don't like talking about Ethereum, but, you know, it's just that's kind of the pathway they went to. Yeah, they're highly centralized.
But going back to, like, us and our community, mm-hmm. we haven't even exercised that option, you know. And I'm not saying that we would be greedy or the North State, but we haven't even started to look at that option of what could be done or how it could be done and the benefits or the not the benefits of it.
Right.
You know, and I think that's something that needs to be looked at because mm-hmm. it could benefit back to poverty flats. I'm just going to refer to that a lot now.
There was a thing.
I believe it, but you see where I'm going with it.
I do, and what's crazy is on the break I researched a little bit that that was a name given during the gold rush, and I'm like, let's not repeat this cycle. Because
right.
we're like in what Member Saylor said, the decade of like the Bitcoin gold rush. And mm-hmm. we can't miss that. We can't miss out on
that's
anything.
True.
Yeah, yeah, repeat history there.
We've had some boondoggles up here. We've had a huge development that was primarily funded from one of the cities here. I don't want to cast them out, but it took probably what 20 years at this point in time, and that that space has still not been fully occupied.
Oh, yes,
and,
I know.
And it was taken out of the general area where most businesses would occupy space. So there was just so many challenges with this this operation that they had, and it's still sitting there, and it was considered a huge boondoggle. So what happens with minor companies, especially with Barefoot, they can come in and benefit from a boondoggle.
Yeah.
They can make a boondoggle work for the community that's suffering from the boondoggle and for their own benefit, you know, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, it's a win-win situation all the way around when you stop and look at what could, the potential that could evolve here with it, you know. And I have to say one thing about Shasta County or the North State, is we've been at the spear tip on many things,
yeah.
you know, to bring in and be outside the box, so to speak, on things like this. And this is just, you know, technology is not new to Shasta County. Mm-hmm. If you've done any history, you know there's a lot of stuff that's come out of Shasta County here.
Totally.
Well, and here's what has always been the challenge is access. So we're up here, we're 2.5 hours away from a major airport. You have Sacramento or you go to Medford, okay?
Yeah.
All right. So, and that's been a challenge for company leaders, and mm-hmm. I have heard that personally.
Yes,
I've spoke with a CEO of a financial company who just did not want to come up here, although he had some satellite offices up here. And he says, listen, he goes, for me, he goes, I'm a busy guy. He goes, mm-hmm. I need to get my plane and go up there. He goes, because a 40-minute trip for where his location mm-hmm. was far better than a 3.5-hour drive. But you have companies that have executives that need to come into a major airport. And Reading is not conducive for that.
Right.
We have a great municipal airport, and they do what they can to make that work. I mean, it's great that we can go nonstop from here to San Francisco. Well, there is no stop to San Francisco, but to L.A. or even go out to Las Vegas. But that has always been a
hindrance.
And if you need rail, that's also a challenge, even though we have rails. But Amtrak is...
still a challenge.
Yes,
there.
It is. So
you want to get up at 3 a.m.
Yes, it's like, wow, you know, this is so different. I mean, this is something that could be trucked. This is something you could truck in. It could actually run out of a container.
Well, yeah, and it's
which
not
is
like you
really
have to
cool.
have.
You can go out to the rural areas and, you know, have a substation built off of the windmill, for instance, and that would work.
I just assumed that the horses you were talking about were inside of containers. What else would they be in the back of a semi? Just move them around.
Absolutely. Yeah, the containers could be, you know, the horses, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes, for sure.
And it's not like it's going to hurt anything. You know, we always like to look at things, pros and cons, you know, positive, negative. There's not a lot of negative to trying it.
There really isn't.
You know what I mean? So,
especially
so,
when you're plugging in the current infrastructure.
Exactly. Existing it's not like buildings, you have to build something new. The horse, you don't have to go get, you know, a Clydesdale for the horse to do the mining. You can get a different type of horse. They'll still be a workhorse for you.
Yeah, still even one of my favorite phrases is fail forward.
Yeah,
yeah,
no,
there you go.
Yeah.
The only way you really is by doing nothing,
you know,
moving in any direction.
We had asked specifically the question of both Bo at Abundant Minds and Bob at Barefoot if they were familiar with our area. And I found it very interesting. Now, Bo did a little research before he got on the program, and he was pleasantly surprised what he found because he was not aware or because of the regulatory landscape, it didn't even hit his radar.
Right.
But it hit Bob's. Bob was familiar with this area, and he says, geez, you know, on the second, you know, when I'm thinking about this, he goes, no, it's not a state particularly that hits our desirability. It's not desirable for us. However, Shasta County has the abundant power resources. The hydro for them is exciting.
Right, yeah.
I mean, we have the other resources, of course, but that's something that he keyed in on was the abundant hydropower. And you look at, like, the city of Shasta Lake, for instance. They have a substation right down there at Keswick. And,
yes.
And it, I believe that there is one down at the bottom of Shasta Dam, which is what the Department of Fish and Game is plugged into.
Oh, that's a little factoid.
Peter,
I have a question for any or all of you.
Oh, boy.
We talked today about the 30% loss of transmission with power plants.
Yeah.
And we've talked about all of the benefits that Bitcoin mining can bring to a power grid or even an energy source that's not on the power grid.
Okay.
What is it about the general public's perception of Bitcoin that you think disallows the entire population from arriving at consensus with the same conclusion the way that we have this afternoon?
Education.
Yes, education, skepticism. They've heard
knowledge.
Negativity. You know, it depends what news sources they're listening to and what is the objective of the news source. You know,
and
why are they putting that information out and who's listening to it?
And fear.
And fear.
Yeah. Because of lack of education, they have fear.
And also, you got to consider, you know, the older generation, the baby boomers and beyond, they have lived their lives. They've maybe have paid off their homes. They have resources. They have savings. And there's a lot of risk here to invest into it. I mean, this is savings they have to live on for the rest of their life. Bitcoin is risky. It can be very risky if you don't know what you're doing. And if you're looking for short-term gains, I mean, then you're speculating, which is something we don't ever promote on this show, although it does happen out there. But if it's a long-term investment, you know, it looks like it's in favor. So I think that's what the issue is. And our job is to educate and point people to resources that can further educate them. You know, we were talking about storage offline. I mean, there are ways to safely store your Bitcoin. Now there's ETFs where you can have an interest in Bitcoin, even though you don't directly own it. You own it through a stock. But we're getting there, and I think it's just, you know, gosh, you're dipping your toe in the water, and it's feeling a little bit better right now.
Well,
yeah, and I think we're getting there.
To that point, of the education piece is people, I think, have this pre-idea, pre-notion, whatever you want to call it, that you can't buy like we were talking before we came out, $5, $10,
good
whatever.
Point.
Bitcoin.
Yep.
Oh man, how can I afford to buy a Bitcoin at
$69,000?
That's not for me. When that's part of the education piece for us to do to people is go, hey, you know, whether it's $5, $10, we do what we call cost average, you know.
Yeah,
looks like Peter's doing $5 over there. So
yeah, but Peter just made an acquisition.
Another $5 of BTC.
That's excellent.
There you go.
Right.
But a lot of people don't know that, and we're always trying to hit that home. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter your status in the community. Yeah. It puts that all aside, and you can have a piece of it just like everybody else.
8 billion people on the face of the earth. There are many more people that understand and appreciate Bitcoin outside of our country, a very well-developed countries. You look at El Salvador, especially Africa. I mean, we've said this before. What if they were asked one word to describe Bitcoin? Generally, what is it?
Freedom.
There you go. Freedom. Absolutely. And it's synonymous. And I think Christina can even speak to this as well. You've dealt with this also of having to convert in your homeland's currency.
I'm doing this every month.
Absolutely.
It's less commission and safer. It won't be lost. My card won't be scammed. And I just know that it's kind of better for any part of the world because my brother is one day in Poland, one day in London, one day in Rotterdam. And it's really comfortable to have cryptocurrency because it's easier to exchange and to send between me, mom, and our other family members.
It's 24/7, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah. And every few seconds, if you have an app, you can just like... go through Apple Pay or how it's called, through the wallet, just it scans your face, bump, bump, you have money, have a nice day.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for a business to open or several days to open.
Already so happy.
It's almost like she's living in 2024.
I know. Right.
We love you, Christina.
Yeah, because, you know, when we started this, when she started with the station, she had no knowledge of Bitcoin, I don't think, really.
I know it was existing, but I didn't use it. And since I started working and using money between countries, and I was trying to find the way, and then, like, everybody's about Bitcoin. And it looks like it's falling down. Maybe should I buy some Bitcoin before 2024? So also all this thoughts kind of motivate me to work on my relationship with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
And thank you. I really
technology.
Yes, I really thank you, girls, for acknowledging me and everything, for letting me know more how this world builds, how to go, where to go, and what to find, and for every weekly updates as well.
Yeah.
You know what? That makes it all worthwhile right there.
That's right. Well, if you could say in one word, what is your best way, favorite way of buying Bitcoin, Elizabeth?
I would say strike.
Strike. Peter?
I like to do limit orders because it's like setting a net or setting a trap.
And do you have a particular provider?
Robinhood these days.
Okay. Linda?
Swan.
I lean towards Swan as well. Set it and forget it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I
love
DCA, baby.
Yeah. But you know, but the point of it is you can use Strike. I mean, you can, you can Cash App. You can do various ways of acquiring Bitcoin. Apple Pay, I believe, is another way that Christina talked about. So there are ways. It's easy and you don't have to spend $69,000 to get a Bitcoin.
No, and we know somebody that goes and buys gift cards.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah, and if you find, like, a real Bitcoiner, they will probably just send you, like, $3-4 if you ask them. So we all geek out on showing people how to download a wallet and get started. So
that's
don't
true.
Be afraid
good
to
part.
Reach out to your local
Bitcoiner. I don't know if we geek out, but that's a good point.
Yeah.
And there's
okay,
an
argument. Ready? I'll send you, like, $3.
So
I win by giving you.
What's your favorite Lightning wallet now?
I've been using Moon.
Okay, I like Moon, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
know some.
A little bit.
I know some people have gone to the Blue wallet. How about you, Peter?
Well, the only Lightning wallet I've ever used is Strike.
Okay.
And I noticed I had an option. I could move money from that wallet to another wallet on my phone for free as long as I gave them 24 hours, which I did. And it was so cool to go fee-free.
Okay.
That was awesome. Yes. I loved the feeling.
Yes. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
The feelings are great with lightning wallets, yes.
Well, gang, guess what? And we're at the end of the show. I want to thank you, Peter, for coming in and spending the time
thank
with
you
us.
So
You're
much.
Always welcome back. And I guess we will see everybody next week, maybe. Maybe we'll have Lauren in the house, too, all
yes.
of us.
Have
Until
a great
next
week.
Time.
This has been an encore recording of Tokens Radio from March 17, 2024.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.